You're listening to the MMAMadhouse.com Clips of the Week.
Hey now, Carl the Madman here. Welcome to the first installment of the MMAMadhouse.com Clips of the Week. From all of our shows from the past week on the MMA Madhouse Productions Radio Network. Going to kick it off tonight with an interview from Sunday Night Fight, last Sunday. I'm not going to waste your time. Let's do this. Here we go.
I'm not going to wait around. I'm not even going to put him in queue. I'm just going to call Tyson live on air. How about that, buddy? You want
to
do that?
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me.
Let's do it. I love Tyson, man. This kid is just a fun interview. His family is so supportive. Why is this call failed? Hold on. Call failed. International calls are not allowed. I'm not trying to call no international call. Hold on. What? Hold on. Let me dial this number in here by hand because it's trying to tell me that it's an international call. And I know it's not. He's 808. Okay. How can this be? This is not an international number. Hold on.
Are you forgetting to dial the one?
Let me shoot Tyson a message real quick. Let's see what happens. Here we go. We got him right here, the one and only. Tyson Nam, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing good, man. How are you guys doing?
Good, good.
Wonderful.
What's up, Tyson?
Tyson, I've had you on Madhouse Live a couple of times over the years before some of your fights, whether they be at Sport Fight or Shudo or Cage Sport. This show is based out of California. It's a new show. We've never had you on, but you're going down to West Coast Fighting Championships, getting ready to knock off the hometown champ and grab a title to add to your your lineage of what you've done in this sport. How are you feeling right now? I guess, what, about 13 days out?
I'm feeling actually really good. I think I'm peaking out just right, and I'm doing the things that I need to do to be able to do a five-round fight, since it is for a belt. So I have to make sure that I had some extra training in and peaked out just right, just so that training doesn't get stale. So I think we'll be well prepared to go the distance if need be, which, you know, in my head, probably won't.
Two things. One, where are you training at right now for this camp?
So right now, our home gym has changed names to Rose City FC. It was a sports lab before, but a lot of changes have been made within the past year or so, but now we are known as Rose City FC.
Now, you guys, as a gym, just so folks know, you guys have been on a pretty impressive tear. You have some great fighters at the pro ranks that are consistently winning, whether it be in the Pac Northwest, Hawaii, wherever. So you're at a great gym. I just wanted to let everyone know where you were training. Now, I want to ask you, everybody talks about your hands. Do you think or do you feel that maybe your opponent in this upcoming fight, because from the comments I've seen, he seems to think you don't have much of a ground game, that you're like a, you know, you're a power shot kind of guy. Do you think that that's a bad mistake for him to underestimate your ground game?
You know, think whatever he may want to. I've never been submitted in a fight, and I think for a pretty damn good reason. But, I mean, you know, it is MMA. I do prefer to strike, but it's not like I'm a stranger when it comes to to grappling, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, whatever that doesn't involve striking. I mean, we have a great instructors here at Rose City FC that are really well known in grappling with 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu. So I mean, we're very well versed in grappling. But just for myself personally, I like to punch people in the face, and that's where I try to keep it.
Now, me and Ray were talking when we were trying to get you on the thing. You know, this fight in your weight class has a lot on the line, a lot of fighters that are looking to either make a name or continue their growth are going to be looking at you two guys. Does that give you any excitement to know that grabbing this belt could really put a target on your back and get you some fights that maybe will hop you back to where you should be?
For sure. I mean, I know that Jeremiah's a very game opponent. He's a very good record as well. And, I mean, the last guy that he just fought last is Joe Soto, that just fought in the main card of UFC 177. So, I mean, you know, he's a talented guy, and I plan on putting him on top of my my list of wins.
Now, Ray and me were talking about diversity and how you face it and the difference between a fighter and a champion. I mentioned, because I followed you for some time, and I, being in the Pac Northwest, you know, after the Silva loss, you came back and had a hard-fought Jesse Brock fight. Then you turned around and you just hurt people. I mean, you were just killing people monstrously and not being nice about it. Like, it's sport fight, brawl in the barn. You just butchered that kid on his feet so quick. What did we learn with the last two fights that didn't go your way that we're going to see you coming back like you did before after some losses?
You know, the last two losses that I had was definitely not expected, but I mean, a lot of things were going on there that time. It wasn't the best time in my career. I mean, I think a lot of things weren't done properly. No excuses. I still lost, but I mean, I don't think that we were preparing in the best way. I mean, there's a lot of changes, and with everything, you know, changes comes about, you know, just being not there mentally. And I mean, if you're not there mentally, you can't really be there physically. But I think, you know, we've made some good changes in our team and our camp, and I think everything is running a lot smoother. And actually got to enjoy fighting all over again. I mean, for a long while I wasn't really enjoying it, like when I first started, but now I wake up and I look forward, like, yeah, I get to go and, you know, I get to go work out, I get to punch people in the face. I mean, it's great. It's going to be a great day today. And I think just that sort of mindset coming into this fight is very much more positive in my mind, as well as I just feel physically really, really good, ready to go, injury-free.
Nice. Now, this is Ray here. Let's switch directions here a little bit, because my thing about this show is we like the fans to get to know the fighters and who they are, you know, not just about what they do in the cage, but to look into their private lives. You know, you're getting ready for a fight. It's a big fight. I don't know how much weight you have to cut, but when you're in training camp, what is the one thing that you miss the most?
I think just what I miss the most is just being able to sit down and watch some TV. I like to watch old 80s classics, and I mean, during training camp, I'm waking up at the crack of dawn. I'm working out all the way till it's about time to go to sleep. So, I mean, just for me to have that that relaxation time. There's no relaxing when about 6 weeks out when you're preparing for a fight. It's always just a go, go, go.
Nice. Now, you know, you've definitely fought a lot of quality opponents. Now, who is the one person that you would love to fight, whether it's a fighter, a historic figure, just anyone, who's the one person you would like to fight in the cage?
I like to fight myself. You know,
ooh.
I mean, I think you know, when you're always going against, I mean, you really, when you're even thinking about doing a fight, you are always trying to overcome your own demons. It's not even more so your opponent. I mean, you study video, you study tape on top of your opponent. You know what you're gonna do, but it's the demons inside of you. Like, you know, can I do this? You're always playing a mind games with yourself. I mean, did you train enough? Did you do the right things? But I mean, if I know what I do, and I'm good at that, and I know what my own game plan is, oh, that'd be an exciting fight. Just because, you know, I mean, I think I like to make an exciting fight, and that's who I would want to fight is myself.
Okay, so
I like
got,
that.
So you got good Tyson fighting evil Tyson. Who wins?
What was that again?
So you got good Tyson fighting evil Tyson. Who wins?
Yeah, I think evil Tyson would win. You know, just when evil Tyson comes out, when he gets upset, I mean, there ain't no stopping him. And I think that especially is what I need to start going into fights with a little bit more on edge. I mean, I don't know, I'm going to have my corner guy slap me around or something in the back room before I walk out, but I think I'm just more on point when I'm evil.
Nice. Now, you know,
I was going to say, you know, when you came into that Chuck Jordan fight out there in Brawl at the Barn, that was an evil Tyson Nam.
You know, yeah, that was definitely one of the one things that I remember about that fight. It's just like, man, I'm fighting where in a dirty place, there's dirt coming out of my nose on top of my face. I'm a little pissed right now that I'm dirty already. And, I mean, you know, I went up in there and I was like, all right, let's do this thing. Let's get out of here because, I mean, all I'm doing right now is just inhaling dirt, and it's not really working with my sinuses right now. I'm pissed.
Okay, now you mentioned you didn't want to fight there. Okay, where's one place? I'm going to jack skip you for this. Where's one place in the world you would love to fight?
I would love to fight in Japan. I mean, that was the one thing when I first started doing MMA, I was like watching a Pride and fights in Japan. I was like, man, there's like a huge crowd of like 60,000 people like screaming. I mean, that must be like intense. I mean, I'm watching it on TV and like my TV speakers are shaking. I couldn't even imagine what it'd be like if you're actually in there in the middle of an arena with people screaming. But I mean, I know like up in Japan, everybody's really educated about fighting. And I mean, they know exactly when to be cheering at the right times, and that was the one place where I would really hope to fight before the end of my career.
Now, Tyson, you know, you got to talk about it a lot. You know, going down to Shudo and just dethroning that man so quickly. Do you hate getting pigeonholed by that one fight?
What was that?
Do you hate getting pigeonholed about that one fight?
No, I mean, I was like reliving the moment. I mean, I do sometimes go back and watch the YouTube videos like, oh, yeah, I remember doing that. I mean, it was definitely an experience. I mean, it's definitely the biggest and the most memorable experience in my career so far. I mean, just everything that about the trip was insane. I mean, just the long flights over, just us warming up and training on top of the beach in Rio de Janeiro, really not being able to eat the food, just in fear that, you know, I would get some sort of stomach sickness. So we had to bring a hot plate and buy our own food from Trader Joe's and cook it in our hotel room. I mean, a lot of these things that, I mean, a lot of people don't know. I mean, it just, it's really stuck in my brain, and I like to relive the moment from time to time, just knowing that I did something that was damn near impossible, and it really put me on the map in a phantom weight.
Do Do you remember, because we watched it live, we had you on the show actually the night before you flew out, we had you on the show, and, you know, us and a lot of your family, everybody, your fans, we all watched it, but I've always been curious, inside that moment, did you hear the crowd go silent? Because, you know, everyone watching it, you heard the volume in the building just dead silent.
I seriously heard a cricket. I thought I heard a cricket after I knocked him out. I thought I heard a cricket, and I thought the light actually dimmed. And then that's when I just had that whole thing of deciding to sprint up out of there. And a lot of that, like, I don't even really remember. It just kind of just went, oh, damn, cricket here, dim light, I'm about to break.
Well, I'm telling you what, I'm hoping on the 13th that we hear crickets again, son, because, you know, I'm a big fan of yours, and it's no disrespect to Jeremiah. He's a great competitor. I believe you deserve this, and I'll be honest. I said it before you came on the show, and I'll say it again. I think you win this fight. I think you get a title defense in, and then hopefully you're back where you should be in one of the, you know, the major shows like RFA, you know, World Series, you know, Bellator, Titan, something like that, to get your shot to, you know, the big show. I truly think this is a perfect match for you.
I think so too, and that'll definitely be the plan after I get through this first fight. Hopefully everything works out in my favor this time.
Well, you know, we've got about 5 more minutes with you, so before we do run out of time, take this time right now. I know you've got great sponsors, gym coaches, family, friends that you want to give some shout-outs to, social media, whatever you want. Please take some time, Tyson.
I'd definitely like to thank my gym, Rose City FC, and my training partners and coaches to helping me prepare for what I believe should be a hard, tough fight. I'd like to thank, you know, my family, my friends, and my girlfriend Mel for sticking by me with, you know, I mean, there's so much ups and downs in mixed martial arts. You take a step forward, you take 2 steps back, and, you know, with a good shot, you get back up in it. But, I mean, definitely my strongest supporters, my family, friends, and my girlfriend Mel to supporting me through all of these times. And you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, pretty plain and simple, Tyson Nam. It ain't too hard to find me.
Tyson, being a fan of yours and being a fan of the Pac Northwest scene, I got to throw this out because I know you fought Jesse Brock, and I know you train with Austin. Who wins that fight if we could get that title fight at Maximum Fighting Championships? Who would you pick?
Man, that's a tough one. I would definitely pick Austin. I mean, he's one of my really good friends and my training partners. But I believe that that the wrestling should nullify itself out, and I think that Austin's striking as well as his length should be the deciding factor in my eyes.
Yeah, look, we're campaigning for that fight, I'm not going to lie. We thought it, you know. So, you know, I'm just hoping that maybe Mark's listening tonight, because I would like to see that fight. I think Austin's earned it. What's he got, 3-4 titles right now as a pro?
Something. I don't think I can even count that high with as many. I can't even keep up with that guy. He's winning titles. He's making improvements every day. I mean, you know, him against Jesse Brock would be a great fight.
Now, you know, like I said, I'm super excited to see you. I'll be one of the guys buying the pay-per-view to watch you fight, because I believe this fight is just – I've watched you too long. I know how you come back. And I think that he's not going to understand the strength you have. I think a lot of people in your career have underestimated your strength. And I think people underestimate your ground game all the time. I think people look at you as a knockout artist, which I don't believe that's what you are. I believe you're a well-rounded fighter. And I think ground game and cardio are all key factors in your victory.
I believe so. I mean, I'm definitely starting to get pumped up for this fight. I mean, I usually don't get pumped up until maybe about like 2 days before a fight, before I even realize I have a fight. But I mean, I'm feeling pretty excited. I'm thinking about it more often. I think I'm even have dreams about fighting. I mean, it's just in my mind all times of the day. I got to do breathing exercise to like calm myself down. But I mean, I do believe that, you know, I got what it takes to climb that ladder back again, and I'm definitely willing to. I still got a few good years left up in me, and I think I can climb back to the top 10 on top of Sure Dog's list again.
Well, a few's kind of being nice or being hard on yourself, because I could see easily 8 to 10 more years out of you the way you take care of your body and the way you take care of yourselves in fights. So, you know, go out there. I know you're tailing into your camp right now. Try to make the best of it. Go enjoy Rose City. You know, get what you got to get tightened down. Get in there. Grab that strap. Hold it up high, man, and continue moving forward, brother, because big fan. I love to death. I love you to death, man. I love watching you. I've seen you in person so many times, and it's a bummer I can't make this one, but I truly, truly believe this is a fight for you.
Thank you guys for following me and staying a loyal fan. Thank you guys.
Definitely.
Tyson, go enjoy your night. Go ahead, Ray.
You guys too.
All right, you have a good night, bro. We're definitely rooting for you.
All right, take care.
All right, everybody, Tyson Nam, you guys find him on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Like he said, just like it sounds, it's T-Y-S-O-N-A-M, or N-A-M. Tyson Nam, you guys find him, support him, show him the love.
All right, we're back. I'm being joined by the one and only STP Tattoo. That was a good interview you did with Tyson Nam, man. What's going on?
Oh, not much. Big fan of Tyson, man. The kid's very tough. I like him. I think he's going to do just fine.
Just fine.
Yes. I think he... that fight is Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Yeah, a week from today.
A week from today. I've lost track of time. I know it's Saturday. So how was Invicta? I know you watched Invicta. What do you got to say about Invicta tonight?
Good card. Big shout out to Shermarine. Not so sweet tweet. Throwing it down like she always does. She is a beast. She put a whooping on that girl. I mean, she made Roslyn Houser look like she stole something.
Really? Wow. Yeah, that was the one fight on the card I really would have liked to have seen, but, you know, I'm not giving Dana White $10. I can't. Goes against all my principles.
Yeah. I feel you.
That's why I live through you. I live through Twitter and everybody tweeting out the results. And sooner or later, somebody will put up the fight and I'll see it. And I'll be happy. Hey, we should get back on with the show here, though. All right, clip two. This is coming from Rage in the Cage Radio from Monday night. Here we go.
Welcome. Kimber Schaefer here. So happy to have you all here listening.
And hey, guys and gals, this is co-host Dee Birchfield. Happy Labor Day to everybody. I want to say thank you to all the loyal listeners. We've been getting great response, and that's amazing. So I want to say thank you. Hope everyone had a fun and safe holiday weekend. We're here on this show, number 7, to really talk about Rage in the Cage 31 and Choctaw, Oklahoma, Choctaw Park, September 19th, coming together to be a really good card. And so we got some special guests tonight here to talk about this upcoming show. So I'm excited about that tonight. Kimber, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was good. Spent the week on the lake, as did most people, it seems like. Thankfully, this time, not quite as sunburned as my last lake excursion a few weeks ago when we were on air. And, of course,
yeah,
you were black and blue after your fight, and I was shades of red after a weekend at the lake. So it was great.
Sunburned.
Yeah,
no blisters, no sunburn.
Yeah, not so bad this time. So You know, you mentioned just briefly that we've had such a good response to the show. It's I'm happy to report that Rage in the Cage Radio is doing so well. We've been number one on the MMA Madhouse Network for 3 weeks now. And, you know, we just really appreciate all of our listeners for tuning in because we are such a young show, this being only our 7th broadcast, of course. So it really speaks volumes about our awesome fan base and, you know, not only here in Oklahoma, but we have a fan base worldwide. I mean, we have listeners in China and all over. So we are just so grateful for all of you and hope you continue tuning in every week.
Yes, and thank you for being part of Oklahoma MMA. And, you know, I feel like every week we're giving our fans and listeners, Kimber, a little insight into MMA fighter's life, a fighter's life, definitely an Oklahoma fighter's life. And it's something special, you know, it's something that's priceless to a lot of people. And so it's a good thing for everybody to be part of. But, yeah, definitely have loved the response, and we look forward to doing good shows for you every week, every Monday night. So,
so true. And Dee, we just got a fight card a couple of days ago, and I apologize, I have not posted it yet. Right now we're looking at, and of course this is going to change, we're still almost 3 weeks out from the show, but right now we have about 18 fights scheduled. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those being pro fights, and then of course we have the Ken Coulter, Brody Carruth 155 amateur title belt
fight
on the line. So it's going to be an exciting night of fights. As always, I think Rage in the Cage delivers, and this fight card is shaping up to be a really good one.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the venue, the Choctaw Park, that last show was sold out. And I want to say, and don't hold me to this, we really need to ask Brother Mike, but I want to say it was sold out to over 1,200 people, so. I mean, it packed the house. The venue was outstanding last time. Great response from the community. Fighter experience, amazing. Fans loved it. So it's coming back there, you know, and so this is the second time there this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing it there again.
Yeah, I do know one thing, that the day before the fight and the day of the fight, Mike Potts, who is the co-sponsor, he owns Charlie's Sports Bar there in Choctaw,
yeah.
And he mentioned to me that he did have to turn away a lot of people that wanted to purchase tables for that event, but we had already sold out the tables at that time. So this time, hopefully, we will go ahead and just plan for that and hopefully be able to fit a few more tables in there. But as far as anything, when it comes to Rage in the Cage, secure your tickets early. Don't wait
yes.
until the day before, you know.
And you post stuff on Rage in the Cage website, OKC, on Facebook, I know. You know, if they can't find it on Ticketmaster.com or
Ticketstorm.com.
Ticketstorm.com, they can go to the Facebook page, the Rage in the Cage. I'm sure it's posted on there as well, how to purchase tickets.
And remember, too, that all of the fighters get a percentage of the tickets sold. So whenever you do purchase your tickets, whether you purchase them online or go to one of the other vendors where that you can get tickets, be sure and check that fighter's name so that they get credit for that ticket purchase. And all of the fighters should, within the next couple of days, have tickets in hand themselves to sell. So if you want a certain ticket, you can order that ticket through the fighter, whether that be a general admission ticket, a ringside ticket, or a VIP table ticket. And just a reminder on the pricing, it's still, I mean, just $25 for a general admission seat. It is $35 for the VIP or for the ringside, which is just behind the tables. And, of course, closest to the cage is the VIP tables. And that is $50 per seat, or you can get a table for 10 for $500. And if you order those tables really quickly and you let us know your name of the business, we can list you as a sponsor and get you in on some of the sponsorship opportunities like mentions during the show and that
yes.
sort of thing. That's the reason to go ahead and get those tables early, because then you get mentions as a sponsor, and it just, you know, furthers your buck. But also that can be, you know, this is something you have to figure out with your tax accountant who does your taxes, but it
yes.
can be used possibly as a business tax write-off for advertising expense. So lots of good reasons to go ahead and secure your tickets early.
Yes, and with being on the sales team for Raising the Cage, it's good if any businesses or gyms or anybody that's listening wants to be part of sponsoring Raising the Cage 31, perhaps with vendor booth or ringside table. You know, you can Raising the Cage OKC website, or you can hit up me on Facebook, D. Birchfield, and I can help you with some of the packages that we offer Raising the Cage for our sponsorship and advertising program. Options.
Yeah, and another hot commodity you would think would be the cage itself advertisements that, you know, where you can get the vinyl lettering printed actually on the cage floor or
yeah.
the cage post and such. We still have that available. So if anyone would like information on getting your name on the actual cage, I mean, hey, guys, that's where everyone's eyes are the entire evening. So, I mean, that is prime type advertising when it comes to a mixed martial arts event or a boxing event or wrestling event is right there on the cage. So if you'd like more information about that.
Yeah, go ahead, Kimber. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, if you would like more information about that, contact Dee Birchfield right here on Facebook.
Yes, and it's the last several shows have been sold out. So, I mean, that's another good reason to have it on the cage at this time, because it's Raising the Cage. Oklahoma City is on a roll with putting on great shows. So it'd be great to have your business advertised out there, even your gym, you know. So there's still plenty of time to get in on that as well.
Yeah, just let us know. You know, let's kind of go ahead and go through what's ahead on the broadcast. Tonight we have Matt Jackson. He has worked as a photojournalist at TV stations really across Oklahoma and Kansas. His career behind the video camera and his love for mixed martial arts were united really when he joined me here at creating the Rage in the Cage media team. Find out how it all started and what's ahead for Matt and I and Rage in the Cage and what we have planned for the media and what we are doing for Oklahoma Fighters.
And then, Kimber, yes, I'm a big fan of Matt Jackson. Matt Jackson, we love you. All the Oklahoma Fighters, we definitely love Matt Jackson, so excited to get to talk to him tonight. But we also have the Beast, the guy that's going to be an explosive MMA debut, Taylor Wilson. Yes, the brother of Marcus Milk Sanchez, undefeated fighter both in the cage and the ring. And Taylor Wilson is making his debut fight for Raging the Cage 31, so we got him on. That's going to be a very exciting interview with this young man, a very talented, very well-grounded young man who sees the big picture and has a very bright future. So it's going to be exciting to talk to him.
Also, we have Yosel Midget. She is the woman behind an Oklahoma Fight team that, you know, they put God first. And she's going to stop by to talk about On All Fight Crew and the Associated Ministry. Two fighters, D, from On All will fight on September 19th in Choctaw, Oklahoma. So I'm so excited about that. I'm excited to have Yosel on. And I really think that this is an interview that is sure to touch your heart. I love her. I love her heart. And I love her heart for Oklahoma Fighters. And I'm really excited to have her on. But guess what? We've already got somebody ready and in queue and ready to go live on air, Matt Jackson. He is our first interview tonight. He is someone extra special to me. He's my partner in
yes.
crime, so to speak, with the Rage in the Cage TV crew. And Matt, you and I both worked together, of course, in Oklahoma television, but people don't even realize this. We didn't actually know one another. We have mutual friends, of course. Literally, we chatted one day online, and we were working together, I believe it was the next day, and I think that was back in November of 2013. And, you know, we just started out that night just going to try it out, and we just have that instant chemistry and ability to work well together. And I feel, in my opinion anyways, we've been a great team ever since. So excited to have you on tonight. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing good. How's it going, Kimber?
Good. We have talked about this for several weeks, haven't we, Dee? We want to have Matt on because we
yes.
just love what you're doing for Rage in the Cage, and people don't realize all of the hard work behind the scenes.
Yes, and Brother Matt, you are the eyes. You're the eyes for Rage in the Cage.
Well, you know, Dee, you and all the other fighters, you guys make it real easy to be the eyes, because every Rage in the Cage show I've been to, there's been lots of action, and I've been to a lot of MMA shows before I started filming for Rage, and I don't remember them being from top to bottom just so action-packed. So we got a good good crew here.
Well, I love your, you know, it's literally, as I thought about it today, you know, what you bring back, what you do for Raising That Cage is literally seen, you know, directly from your vision. So, wow, what a wonderful view you have of everything that's going down for Raising the Cage. But, you know, we're really blessed to have you here and helping us here in Oklahoma and what you do for us. And you know, like you just spoke about the shows you see at Raising the Cage, how have you viewed the growth since you started? I think, I'm not sure which show you and Kimber started. Kimber, you might have to help me.
I believe it was November 2013. It was the night that...
Was that Raising the Cage 24?
I believe
that was... Raising the Cage 24. That was the night Ricky Campela and Jason Anderson were the main event. And,
I believe Lucas Queen was my first ever interview. That was a pre-fight interview that we did on the night of the event. So he was my first interview that I had ever done for Rage in the Cage. And then, of course, we did the post-fight interviews with Ricky and Jason that night. And I believe that might have been the only two interviews we did that first night. We made it.
We got a couple interviews before the show. That's the thing. We really didn't have a plan in place at all. This was just a guy with a video camera. They got approval from his boss to get some footage from the show. And I was literally, we didn't really have a plan. I was just going to come, and I had never met you before. But we just kind of turned it into a real big production. We went backstage before the show, started talking to the guys. It's kind of funny. Nobody really expected interviews. And it was just looks on their face when we put a microphone in their face. Yeah.
Did you really do it for Channel 9?
Yeah. Well, I had a buddy, Brad Harkins, down there, so I wasn't too afraid.
Yeah. And I think they appreciated that night, and it's, you know, it's just been one of those things to where every show it grows, and we're able to do more and more things. And, you know, last fight, of course, we did the pre-fight video of Jeremy Spoon, which ended up being shared all over, you know, the internet. So, I mean, it was a great interview. Matt Jackson, of course, spent a lot of time putting that together, and it was really, really good work, of course. So we appreciate that, Matt, that and everything you do.
Oh, no problem. You know, I was amazed at how many hits that thing got, and, like, so fast. Like, I think it got almost 900 hits that week.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, I was in a rush putting it together, but it just kind of was a God thing. It just kind of turned out really good. I don't even know how.
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, it's a God thing. And I'm just going to mention it since you did, Matt. I mean, I feel like when I started working for Rage in the Cage back at like maybe the end of October, and just a couple of weeks after that, you came on board. I mean, I really feel like that, I mean, God has just put so many things in place, and he has blessed this ministry, you being a Christian, of course, myself, Dee Birchfield, so many other people that are working here at Rage in the Cage. And, you know, our goal is more than just having numbers at an event or having a good production. It is about the person, the people that are there. And I think God has really blessed that, and we have such a good crew together because of that, because our hearts are not completely focused on one thing. We have, you know, a lot to offer people as far as, you know, being able to pull somebody aside and pray for them if they need to. I mean, to me, it's been such a blessing to have people that I can work with each week at Rage in the Cage and at every event that I can come to myself if I need prayer for anything. So I appreciate you guys being that person for me.
Absolutely. And it's not just you and me. It's the Shane McCabe, our announcer, and we got some really talented photographer ladies who do a really good job. We just got a really good crew, even the people that put up the ring. I really like Rage in the Cage. It's kind of a family feel, and that's what I really like about it. And, Dee, I was going to answer your question. I completely forgot what you asked me earlier, but you were asking me how if I've noticed any of the growth of being the eyes of Rage in the Cage, and I can definitely tell you Yes, I have. And especially I've been uploading some of the older fights on our YouTube channel. And just to give you an example, just go watch the Ken Coulter, Eric Torres fight from last November and compare it to the Ken Coulter, Austin Gunner fight from this past Rage in the Cage 30.
Yes.
Not just in terms of attendance, but just overall atmosphere. It's just, you can't even,
been on fire.
It doesn't even look like the same promotion.
You know, I've got to fight for two of those shows, Matt, 26 and 29, and man, it just, it was on fire. It was amazing, sold out crowds. But, I know, looking through what you see and everything you do, I mean, you do such a wonderful job, such a beautiful picture. I mean, everything you do to perfection. I don't know how many years it's taken you to get that down, but you have definitely gotten the talent down, got the trick down to running the camera, and it doesn't look like it's a very easy thing to do. It looked like it would be, you know, it could be painful to me, my arm like that. I mean, it looks like it could be, you know, quite a job at night, quite a task.
It's like anything
else.
It's easier than it looks. There's a lot of things you got to think about to make it look extra special, but I'm not the world's greatest videographer, but I definitely had a lot of years in television, and this is kind of my background is TV shooting and editing.
I'm so thankful that that Matt is in that role, because when I first started out, of course, working, when I was in college, we had to do what you call one-man bands a lot of times. So I would be standing in front of a camera that I had to set up myself and doing the interviews, and you're having to do both sides, you know, doing the interviews and also doing the camera side. So, I mean, I can't tell you how blessed I am that Matt came on, and because my dreams were always to have a team, but unfortunately, I thought that I was going to have to do it myself. So, I'm just so grateful that Matt's on board. Let's back up a little bit, Matt, because you said something earlier that you've been to a lot of MMA shows in your lifetime, and I know you've been a longtime wrestling and MMA fan, so let's start right there and tell me about when you become a fan and why you love this sport so much.
Well, I was, like you just kind of mentioned it right there, I was a big pro wrestling fan for many years. And, I guess for me, when I started paying attention to the UFC is when they brought over Brock Lesnar, and that's when I started watching his fights, and then I started noticing all the other guys, and I kind of found some buddies that were really into it, so we'd order the shows every month, and kind of became a big fan from there, and, you know, of course, try to go to the local shows as much as possible. But I'd never been to a Rage in the Cage show until I started working for you guys. So.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
How it just kind of fell into place. Let's talk a little bit, too, about your, you know, like me, you also worked in television. So how did you end up working in television? Had that also been a lifetime dream for you? Or?
Yes. It's one of those things. I always wanted to work in television. And when I got there, I liked it, but I realized I didn't want to do it for the rest of my life. I mean, I like shooting and editing. It's all the other stuff that I don't like, the deadlines and the fast-paced, crazy environment of TV news.
Yes.
But
people don't understand that have never worked in television. And believe it or not, people, television doesn't pay that well either. I mean, we won't give out the details on, you know, what you get paid, but it's not anywhere. I mean, people think that if you work in television, you're making triple figures starting out, and it's not the case. So
I know a few reporters that did the one-man band thing and got paid. Well, let's just say they are not even close to – they're in the poverty level.
Yeah.
Starting out, you know.
Yeah, starting out in the smaller markets, you were definitely not too far ahead of minimum wage when you first start out at, you know, the smaller markets like Lawton and Abilene, Texas, and places like that. I mean, you start out, pretty low as far. I mean, people think that this is such a glamorous career, and it can be, but you've got to start somewhere, as always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, Matt.
And, yes, sir.
Hey, have you seen the movie Anchorman 1 or 2?
I've seen Anchorman 1, and I loved it.
Okay. Is that how the news really is?
Whatever's on
really
the teleprompter is going to come out of their mouth.
Isn't that the
That's
truth?
That's how it goes down. I laugh about it all the time, Matt. I love both of those.
I know some anchors that are pretty much like that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I really... details me every week I need to see that, so I definitely do. Let's also talk about, Matt, that you did create our very own Rage in the Cage YouTube channel recently, and I know that you mentioned that you were just viewing videos and downloading videos to that. You know, this is a place where you're putting all of the pre-fight interviews that we do before every fight, the promo videos we also put out before each event, and then the post-fight highlight reels, and then you're putting some of the actual individual fights on there. So tell us a little bit about how people can find this channel and what your plans might be for the future.
It's Rage in the Cage, Oklahoma. Type that into YouTube, you'll find it. I just kind of decided recently that I was going to put up some of the older fights. Think it'd be a good tool for like fighters that want to find out maybe their opponent, how he fights and everything. Just kind of put it up there.
You can put
check
mine
it out.
On there, Matt.
Yeah, I want
to
put up one
up
of those D. Burchfield massacres that I've seen in person.
Oh.
I can see a lot of it.
Yeah.
Matt, our producer, Skippy Cohen, just typed to me, and he said, have you ever thought about doing a documentary on wrestling, MMA, or anything in that regards?
Oh, yeah. Even just working for Rage in the Cage, I'd like to sort of do something like that. But it's just a matter of, do I have the time? You know, type of thing.
Maybe we'll have a month where we, you know, we're booked every month, and we have been for quite some time. And so people don't realize how busy you and I are and all of us that work behind the scenes each month. The events just keep us pretty busy, so it's hard to fit in anything else sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy Spence is the closest thing to a documentary we've done. But definitely in the future, I'd like to do something like that.
Yeah, another thing I'm really proud about and proud of is back in April, of course, we did the benefit fight, for the bombing survivors and the Denny family. And we actually went into their home and did a sit-down interview with that family. And that was another thing that got a lot of views and a lot of people that actually worked in television with you and I and people, of course, that we hadn't worked with that viewed that, and it brought back a lot of memories. There was a guy that worked at Channel 4 that saw that, and I didn't actually know him, but he had actually been the person that filmed them when they met the president, and they went to the White House for the first time just right after the Oklahoma City bombing and were able to meet Mr. and Mrs. Clinton at that time. And so,
wow.
He saw our documentary that we did on that, and I remember just his response and typing on Facebook. I don't know if you saw that, Matt, but...
No, I didn't see that, but
I think
surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, the actual photographer that worked at Channel 4 at the time had gone with the Denny's to the White House, and so it was really neat for him to see that and kind of, you know, see how they were doing 17 years later. So we have gotten to do some really special things, and that's just going to grow and continue to get better.
Yeah, we're just taking it one day at a time. I'm really having a lot of fun doing this. I kind of wish this was my full-time job. I could just concentrate everything on this because I just love it so much.
Yeah.
Well, I hope
for
that we get there
someday. I'm going to have to, yeah.
Matt, I got a question, Matt. I know you did the last show here at Choctaw Park. I know you did Rage in the Cage, the last show at Choctaw Park. I think you would be agreeing with me that it was a sold-out crowd. How are you looking forward to coming back and the production-wise, is that a good venue for your production and everything that went down from the last show? What are you expecting this show?
The one in Choctaw, I'd have to say that was my favorite shoot as a photographer. Just, I love the outdoor atmosphere, and we were lucky that the Oklahoma weather was good to us that night back in June.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I really it was just, that one was a lot of fun. And yes, I would say that was definitely a sold out crowd. There was a lot of people there that night. And I was on
I'm
the
really
stage
expecting.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know where they all come
same.
From.
Right.
Okay, well,
getting
Matt, let's talk about now. You put together videos of all of the Rage in the Cage fights. You have those
yes.
dating back to November of 2013, and so you still have copies of each and every one of those that people can still purchase. So can you give us the lowdown on how they can purchase a DVD, how much they cost, and basically how they can get their hands on these videos?
Yeah, just we have every fight dating back to November the 29th, 2013, for Rage on a DVD. So if any of you guys that fought on there that want a copy of it, or your friend fought on it and you just want a copy, it's $15 a DVD. And just look me up on Facebook, or you can email me at mattjacksonproductions@gmail.com.
And guys, they're truly great videos. I mean, I have several of them, but they're definitely worth having.
And they're very professionally put together. I mean, these have menus and such. It's not something that just plays from beginning and end like you might find some places that you purchase a DVD. Tell me, Matt, a little bit about how you actually put these together as far as the menus and things.
Yeah, well, I'm a bells and whistles kind of guy. All the fights are great, but I like the entrance, all the hype, all the interviews, the highlight reels. I try to make it as cool as you can make it. Just for me as a fan, would I want to buy this? What would I want to see?
Right.
Yeah.
Thing.
You do as much as you can to still fit it on one DVD. And then, of course, you know, we had a fight a couple of months ago that D actually fought on that card at the Bricktown Hotel and Convention Center. We had so many fights that night. And so you actually had to go to two DVDs that event. And so we weren't able to get everything on there. But that night literally was nearly 4 hours worth of action. That was as far as memorable moments and memorable fights. We actually, Matt and I, had to stop doing the interviews in the cage after each and every fight because we just couldn't fit it in. I mean, we had so many fights that night that we had to, after the show, come back and do some of the videos.
It was a packed
house. Yeah, my shoulders were a little sore that night, I won't lie, but when Dee Burchfield came out, I was like, this one can't go three rounds. Dee Burchfield.
I'll get a break.
Yeah, Matt needed a break, so appreciative, Dee, that you were able to give him that break.
Well,
yes,
no,
I never did get
no problem, brother. No problem, brother. I got that.
You know, it's funny, we never get a break, do we, Matt? It's like every time I start to walk away from the cage during a fight, it's kind of like I don't get more than 10 steps. And so I apologize, and I'm sure you do as well, Matt, to all of the people that, you know, at the end of the night hope to get up to us and talk to us or purchase a DVD and whatever that might be. And we're just never really able to, meet up sometimes because we get really busy during those events. But let me tell you, Matt, before we leave, do you have any shout-outs or anything that you want to give?
Let me give a shout-out to my boss, Britt Leggett, who's the guy that actually lets me bring the camera to all these Rage in the Cage events. Coolest
Thank
boss
you,
ever. And he is my boss at Leggett Supply in Oklahoma City. And I've been there for many years, and we've used that camera to make a lot of videos in the past, but in the last couple of years we haven't done a whole lot of videos. So when I heard that when Brad Harkins, my friend, was fighting, I was like, man, I got to find out a way to get it on film. Make friends with the media lady. And little did I know, there's going to be a lot of fights on video. But it's been awesome. It's been a labor of love. I don't know if I've ever told you this, Kimber, but I just really appreciate working with you. It's been a great pleasure and the nicest coworker ever.
Oh, well, I'm blessed that, you know, I get to work with you as well. And I do know that we worked well together. And And everybody tells me that, and I hear a lot of that, Matt. You know, I get a lot of the compliments and things, and so hopefully you get those as well from people, because I know that they appreciate you so much and your expertise, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that I could not, and this media team could not be where it is today without you and I being here together. So I appreciate you being my partner in crime, as I said before, because I couldn't think of anything better to call it. But my partner as far as the TV media team, and now, of course, I got Dee Burchfield joining the media team on the radio side. So we are definitely a growing team of people that are like-minded, and, you know, we're just putting together some positive media for Rage in the Cage, and it's going well, and I just appreciate both of you guys. So thank you so much.
Hey, let me tell you, Dee Burchfield, he was born for radio, even if he didn't know it. I can't think of a better co-host.
Man, thank you, brother. I thought I was just born to fight. I've been just keep fighting all these years. I never knew,
Hey. The fighting
thing,
you get into it again, you got some skills behind the microphone. There's money on the table.
Hey, DJ.
Well, awesome. Matt, I mean, I hate to tell you goodbye because we've had such a great interview, and we have to have you on more often and talk about what you're up to and just get some more insight from you, because you offer a different insight being, you know, like Dee called you, the eyes of Rage in the Cage, and, you know, you memorize and you look at that video over and over again. So any question we have from about any fight back to November, you remember them all. So just because you have seen the video so many times as you're putting together the post-fight highlight reels and stuff, so definitely we need to get interviews from you after each fight so you can kind of give us your view of kind of the best moments and things like that. So thank you so much, Matt, for joining us tonight, and I hope you have a good night, and we'll see you. We've got to schedule pre-fight interviews pretty soon, so it looks like you and I will be getting back to work probably next week for Rage in the Cage 31.
Yeah, that's true. I got to get back on the grind.
And, Brother Matt, thank you. I know from all the fighters, thank you for everything you do, you and Kimber. That old song, It Takes Two, it definitely takes both you and you guys together doing a wonderful thing for not only Rage in the Cage, but everybody that's part of the experience. So really blessed to have met you and crossed your path and to be able to be part of this with you. So blessed
anytime,
in that way,
man.
Brother Matt.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Anytime you guys need anything, you call.
There you have it. Clip of the week from Rage in the Cage Radio. Coming up next, Skippy and Lepaki's interview from live. Who'd you have again, Skippy? Joe Maupin?
We had Joe Maupin, up-and-comer out of Warrior's Edge. Look for some news. Obviously, they've dropped the news themselves today, and here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead. Let's talk about this for a quick second, Carl. Warrior's Edge, everybody knows we've been working with them for a little bit of time. I don't know, a little over a year. And Billy Boo, you know, he's been just a really good guy to work with, to know. He just recently, he called me two nights ago and told me that he would no longer be the coach for the MMA fight team or the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu classes. He was leaving. And since that time, Adam Schnidler, who has fought, you know, at Legacy, Bellator, Strikeforce, at the 155 weight class. Everybody, you know who he is. He's going to be stepping in. But I do understand that Billy will be opening a new gym and a new location very, very, very shortly. So both congratulations to Warrior's Edge, and also congratulations to Billy. I know he's been there for many a years, and he's bled, sweat, and teared for that place. He brought... just this year alone, three new amateur titles and about 27 podium placements in grappling tournaments so far. So he's a great coach. Good luck to everybody in that situation. But this is Joe Maupin, 4-1, up and coming Amy. Check them out. Tonight we're going to kick back with another young kid that Billy Booz turned us on to, some Bujitsu Joe, and it's going to be a nice talk to this young up-and-comer and see what's on the rise for him. And then we're going to spend some time covering some events, folks, that are going down this weekend that maybe we think you should know about, or do we want to break down fights or fight cards. But let's quit screwing around, because I believe our producer, Carl the Madman Mortensen, the Canadian crazy man himself, has got us.
I like the sound of that, having our producer back. That's always a good thing.
Dude, I tell you what, it's a pleasure working with him always, especially when he's on the backside of the radio taking care of everything for us. Oh,
blah, blah, blah.
We got such good
blah, blah,
stuff.
Blah, 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 blah.
I'm trying. There we go. Joe, do we got you?
Sir!
Hey, how you doing tonight, brother? Welcome to Madhouse Live.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Ah, beautiful day out here. How's the weather down there in Texas?
Oh, man, it's hot. 11 is up.
Well,
Now, let's just get it out of the way, Skippy. Ask him about all the restaurants real quick, and then we'll just knock that part out.
Nope. We're not doing that anymore, because last time it turned into dog talk, and now I got like 85 poodle pictures tweeted to me, and that's not funny.
Dude, that's absolutely amazing.
For all the fans out there listening around the world tonight who might not know you, tell them who you are, where you fight out of, and what your record is.
I'm Joe Maupin. I'm currently 5-1. I fight out of Warrior's Edge under Billy Bujitsu Boo. BLD, we just, I'm from San Marcos. We've got 4 knockouts in my first submission most recently, to win my second title. Currently, my second one was with the PCG, Premier Combat Group out of San Antonio, fighting the Cowboys.
Good company. We like them. We've been following them for a while. That's something I was going to talk to you about is you have under 2 minutes of total time in title fights, and I think like 5 minutes and 8 seconds total in your whole career so far. Do you want to spend a little bit more time in the cage, or do you like getting in there and getting it done quick?
Man, I mean, personally, I like getting in there, getting them over with quick. I mean, you know, why not, you know? But no, I mean, I've definitely, you know, I know there's people out there to test me, and I mean, I don't plan for them to go that quick. It's just, luckily for me, it's happened that way. But, no, I mean, I train every time for a long fight. You know, I'm not expecting that every time. I train for a 3-to-5-round fight.
But, Joe,
remember, man, you get paid the same when you go pro, whether you're there for 15 minutes or 15 seconds, bro.
No, exactly, yeah. Get in, get out. I want my hand raised, and I want out of there.
And, Joe, for the fans out there listening, you're not just, like, walking in and knocking people out. You're subbing people. You know, these aren't just, you know, like, oh, he got a flash knockout. I mean, you finished people with your hands a couple times, and you finished your last fight with the Cowboy Extreme Cage with a rear naked choke, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, Billy loves that, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that made my day seeing him. Bujitsu, I was excited. Yeah, everybody was talking all about the hands, and I was excited to go out there. And so I got a little bit of ground game, too.
Well, you know, for me, I know Belts of Honor. You know, you fought for the Belts of Honoris, and then, Rot? You fought at Rot, and then obviously, the PCG, but out of those events, which you know, facility did you like? Do you like that dance hall a lot, or did you like going out of the Rot?
I mean, yeah, I love PCG. That's personally, you know, my favorite. I like fighting at Cowboys, but as far as the venue and the atmosphere and everything, yeah, you couldn't beat Rot with all the bikers there. Came out to Born to Be Wild, and everybody loved everybody cheering. That was the one that got me. And that was my quickest knockout, so we'll count it.
Wasn't that like 8 or 9 seconds, correct?
Yes, sir, 9 seconds.
Yeah. In front of all them bikers, man. I mean, and that's a pretty stacked event. I mean, there's thousands of people there.
Yeah, it was like an awesome venue. I wasn't ready for it or anything. I went out there and kind of soaked it in for a second, and I was like, oh, all right, you know, let's put on a show.
So you picked up two titles for two great organizations in the San Antonio, Austin area. Are you looking to possibly go down to Houston and make a name as well at Legacy?
That's definitely been brought up. I'm not real sure what I'm going to do next. I want to fight, you know, sometime, you know, kind of closer to the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot on my plate right now with school, trying to get out of that. But, yeah, I mean, really just whatever, you know, my coach and my team feels is best for me. I trust them 100%. You know, whatever Billy's got next, I'm just kind of on that path right now. But, yes,
what
sir, I definitely like to expand.
What school are you at?
Texas State University in San Marcos.
I'm not gonna say anything, Lepaki, about the food, but I will say that my mother and stepmother is a music professor over at that university. So
at Texas State?
Yeah.
Hey, that's awesome, man. Go Bobcats.
Yeah, dude, you guys have had a hell of a football team over the years, man. I mean, you guys have had some killer teams.
Oh, no, you got us mistaken.
Are you? No, like, I guess it's been a while since I lived in Texas. I got to think, because, like, 99 through 01, when we were in that area, you guys had, they had a decent football team.
Joe's like,
oh, man, y'all are thinking of University of Texas. No, that's UT. We're out the Longhorns for the Bobcats.
Yeah, I know where you guys are. You guys are down off the square, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah, with the frog, isn't it? Isn't the frog still there, Senior Frog or whatever?
No.
There used to be a bar down there on the square.
Hollywood, yeah. We have like are you thinking of like 6th Street in downtown and all that?
No, I'm talking about up past the river, you know. There's the old square. It used to have all those bars down there. Doesn't it still have them all?
Yeah. I guess I'm just a few years before or after.
I'm old, dude. I'm old, man. I'm like 20 years older than you. So you got to remember,
I
got Alzheimer's.
Wisdom. Hey,
not
with
me.
Some wisdom.
You should tell my wife that.
You don't want none of that wisdom, Joe. You don't want none of that.
No.
Wisdom.
Yeah.
Trust
me, homie. I want some listeners on. They'll tell you to not take that wisdom.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Now, hey man,
which one of your finishes was your favorite?
Man, probably the Rot Rally. I went out there. I threw three rights. I caught him with the first one and the third one. And everybody, like all my friends and everybody had been laughing about, like, you know, kind of talking trash that, my first two or three, knockouts were all TKOs, you know, and so, like, you know, they're like, well, technically you could finish him, you know, like this and that. And then, so when I went out there and I caught that dude and I saw, like, his eyes kind of go back and he just dropped and fell. And my hands just immediately went up, like, the ref ran over there. And I was just like, yeah, like, first KO. So that got him all off my back. And that kind of, I guess that's got to be my favorite.
Yeah, dude, it's hard to beat a 9-second KO, man.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Now, do you think you'd get more enjoyment out of making somebody submit to strikes?
I definitely liked it better. I mean, like, they've called me each time, but, like, yeah, I'd rather, you know, get on top and just keep going until they pull them off, you know, like, I don't know, either way. Like, yeah, I don't know, as long as I get the win. But, yeah, I like the whole continuing punching thing. It's kind of fun.
You know, obviously you're getting to grapple with Billy. How much have you come to enjoy that ground game?
Oh, man, I've actually been training really hard on my ground game. Like, I know it's like hasn't been shown much or anything during my fights, but I've you know taken everything I can. You know, I'm learning it. I'm trying to I'm training with bigger people, training with better people. You know, like I get whooped on the ground all the time. You know, but it's only making me better and making me want to like pursue it and want to get better. So, I'm excited to show that one day too. Like, I'm trying.
Do you have a preference? I mean, do you like working from the guard? Do you like going for submissions? Is there something that you enjoy, when you're in that moment grappling that you try to go for?
Really just try to, keep my positioning, stay on top. And I like to, isolate an arm and, try to sneak in little triangle chokes, take an arm off here and there. But really just, just grinding, I like being on top and throwing on the dirty shoulder bumps, and just covering the nose. Like, that's the kind of stuff I like.
Now, in the stand-up
game.
Let's
make it grimy. Let's make it
yeah.
grimy.
that's what I like. I like being on top and irritating them.
Is that
the
same?
And stuff like that.
What would you do if you had a guy in your guard and then he puked on you? Now, I'm asking because about 2 or 3 weeks ago in the state of Washington, this actually happened in a fight where a guy was in the dude's guard and threw up right in his face, went in his mouth.
I would have won that fight for sure. Yeah, I would have definitely. I don't know what I would do. That's disgusting. I'd get out and go watch. He's like, I'd knock him out and go wash off. I'd get out of it and bear hug him.
you obviously, you're trying to balance school, training, growing as an amateur into the pros. What's the 2-year outlook for you?
I'm also working part time during that. I'm also work construction. It's I don't know. I mean, within 2 years, I definitely want to be done with school. I want to have at least a few pro wins under my belt. Maybe it's kind of starting my route, I guess. Like, I'm ready to kind of bust out on the scene right now and just, hopefully I'll just, just have my name out there a little bit more, have a few pro wins, and be done with school.
I like it.
What are you getting your degree in?
Construction science and management.
Oh, so you don't want to
swing the
hammer. You want to tell everybody how to swing it.
Exactly. I'm tired of swinging this hammer.
Now, hey, Joe, what was the last submission you caught Billy in?
Oh, man, I know. He's actually, I can't even lie on this one. Last time we grappled, he actually caught me in a guillotine, and that was the last time we've grappled, actually. And I remember it specifically because it just happened. He was just talking trash about it.
So Billy chokes you and he starts talking that smack. Is that when you're like, hey, let's go do some Muay Thai real quick?
I just grin. Hey, I keep my mouth shut. Grin and keep my mouth shut. We'll spar occasionally. I get my chances.
I love it.
Yeah, remember that guillotine?
You just throw a couple of shots to the kidney.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're even.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now Joe, can we maybe see you fighting on the Legacy Amateur Series?
Well,
and going after
about
that title? Or?
Man, they just came through to Austin. I don't know. I'm not exactly when sure their next one is. I would definitely keep it in mind. I'm ready to start, kind of getting paid for everything. Like, I put a lot into this, put a lot of time, injuries and everything like that, and it's expensive for me, so I'm kind of leaning towards that route. But I don't know. If that's what, everybody wants for me, then, yeah, I guess go for it.
That'd be three great amateur titles to hold with Cowboy Extreme and then the Belt of Honorius and then Legacy Amateur Series Middleweight Championships. That'd be a great catapult into the pro division, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, whatever's going to work out best, I think it's we're going for. Do what?
Now, when you go pro, will you stay at 185 or will you consider making the drop to 170 at that time?
No, I'll stay at 185. I mean, it's already – we thought about it, and it's already a pretty rough cut to 185, I guess. So I wouldn't be able to make it. I'm just fairly positive.
You're like, I'm not going to quit eating that much food.
Yeah, I was like, man, yeah, I like my little 10, 11 o'clock snacks way too much for that.
So you're cutting weight in a fight camp. What's the hardest thing for you to give up at 10 o'clock at night?
Oh, man, honestly, like, I'll sit here, and, like, now it's just to the point it's a joke. Like, I'll sit here with my, you know, little chicken filet or fish filet, and I have roommates and stuff, so I'll be at the house. And now it doesn't even bother me. I'll sit there and eat, you know, my bland little meal, and I'll watch, like, Bacon Paradise on TV, you know, just, and they'll come in, you know, they'll order pizza, play a poker around me, drink a beer, and I'm just like, like, I'm going to win my fight. But, you know, I ain't tripping. So.
That's
but,
so.
No, definitely my little sweets. I got a bad sweet tooth. Got a Ben and Jerry's that calls my name.
So
what got you into the fight game? Were you using your hands on the around campus a little too much, and you're like, I need to find a better way to release this, or was it always done martial arts?
Like, I played around a little bit in high school, but it was never like that. I was never a big fighter or anything. Like, I got in a few fights in high school, and it was just one day. Like, our football team was trash, and we went defeated my senior year. We didn't win a game, and then I broke my leg, like, towards the end, and I was just, kind of out of football, out of sports, like, and I saw my buddy in a dojo, like, stick fighting one day, and he's like, oh, come on in, so I was like, all right, cool, went in there, met everybody, and I was like, it's kind of cool, I could spar, so I went back the next day, and I was like, yeah, like, let me spar, and they just whooped me, so I was like, oh, well, this sucks, so I didn't want that to happen. And, man, honestly, I just kept going back. Like, I was like, well, I want to be the guy, in there whooping them. Like, I wanted my shots back, and I just kept going, man, and stuck with it, like, 5 years from now, I guess.
Wow. So
do you still go to that gym? Go to that dojo?
No, that was actually the original Warrior's Edge here in San Marcos. And then I guess, like, the new facility has been in New Braunfels for the past 3 years or so.
Schlitterbahn!
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I love me some Schlitterbahn.
Oh, as do I.
Do you get a season pass?
Dude, Joe, Skippy also loves poodles, bro.
No, I don't.
Hey, that's what I heard. Yeah, it's in a big.
Don't start that again. Every time somebody from Warrior's Edge comes on here, I seem to end up like the butt of the joke for a week.
It's like I was telling people, if I didn't make fun of you, I probably don't like you. The sign of me making fun of you means that I must like you.
So, you must love me like a brother then.
Yeah.
Red-headed stepchild, son of a biscuit you are.
Hey, you're obviously in a great state with, a lot of great, fighters who past and present who have gyms. Do you ever get to, take a vacation and maybe go roll at a different gym, maybe down in Galveston or up in Dallas or, go out to, El Paso or anything?
We go up to San Antonio, especially a lot more, like, getting ready for a fight. We go up there with, like, Pete Spratt Muay Thai and Rodrigo Pinero BJJ. Those are, we had Diego Brandao fights out of there. He just fought. He just represented Pete Spratt Muay Thai, so he's been up there. and Richard Odoms, he's about to bust out on the UFC scene. And those are kind of, you know, the only big names and stuff like that around here that I go with, and they definitely put a whooping on me.
Well, that's cool. That's some good people to be training with.
Yeah, I like going to them. They're awesome, man. Awesome coaches, awesome people, awesome partners.
Well, you know, everything that's, you know, going on these days with fighters learning to be very active on social media and stuff, do you find you have time for that, or is that something that you just are like, man, that's just one more thing on my plate I don't need to deal with?
Oh, man, honestly, I've got a Facebook, I got an Instagram recently. I did break down, and I got a Twitter the other day. I think I got, like, 2 followers right now. I don't even know how to use it, honestly. But, I mean, yeah, I guess, like, I've noticed, like, that seems to kind of play a part in it, you know, definitely help get your name out there. So, yeah, I need to start, you know, getting on that. But, honestly, yeah, I just don't really have time for all that, or I don't think to be, like, you know, like, I just don't think to sit there and tweet something.
Yeah. Well, no, you know, understandable. I mean, obviously with school and job and Billy choking you out all the time, you know. You know, Billy right now probably just fell over laughing.
Oh, he's loving it. Yeah. BLD. Yeah, he got me.
Oh, man. Yeah, dude, Billy's a great guy. We've known him for a while. Just a kick guy, man. Great group that you're training there with. Obviously, you got some killers around you, both male and female, making big waves.
Won the first.
Yeah, and impressively, too. Is that something you just love, going in there and having all these other top-flight athletes, you know, training and pushing each other?
Yeah, I mean, it's great what we got going on there. You know, everybody there is, we're definitely a close-knit little gym family, and yeah, it's awesome, man. I just love going out there. And, like, it's more fun, you know, and more adrenaline rush and all that, like watching them fight, screaming and up and down, and, like, you know, than it is for me to go out there, and that's what I like. But.
Well, you know, brother, this is the time we usually let, you know, you guys give some shout-outs, man. Anybody you want to thank, gym, family, sponsors, whatever, social media. Man, take some time, man. It's yours.
Yeah, man, definitely, man. Thank you. Yeah, everybody, Jessica Moppin, what's up? It's my sister. I love all my family, Felix. Man, it's all my friends here. Definitely all my sponsors, Ernie's, Pain & Body, the V Room, Straight Training, Warrior's Edge, CRNT Builders, my pops. Man, just pretty much everybody, man. Thanks for all the support, and thank you, Sam Marcus. And thank y'all. Thank y'all for having me.
Oh, brother, we always enjoy having you guys.
Bro.
And D Block, everybody on Dolly Street.
Oh, man, who did we just talk to a couple weeks ago, Skippy? That was Tony, wasn't it? That said he had the whole block, the whole cell block or something rooting him on?
Oh, dude, yeah, it was Anthony Burchak.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, he found out there was a whole cell block who's been following him fight.
Nice.
And, like, yeah, he was going to give a shout-out after his victory.
Nice, that's awesome. Yeah, we got a little thing. I live on Dolly Street. And we call it D Block, I bought a tattoo gun the other day, like online at like 4 a.m, and we made my roommate sign a contract that I would give him his first tattoo, and my tattoo gun came in 2 days later, and so I just been tattooing everybody up.
I love it.
Skippy's
next, dude.
Hey, look, dude, I'm covered, literally. I got Hot Wheel Flames tattooed on my eyebrows, okay? I'm covered
nice.
Head to toe. So if I'm ever down in your neck of the woods, you can go ahead and throw a piece on me.
Hey, definitely, man. Thank you. Hey, I'm only getting better. My last one was actually after after Cavs victory, we came home, and KLD let me tattoo his leg, my buddy, and we tattooed like a smiley face and Cat 14. It was so that was
that's my
latest piece of work.
I saw that, man. Yeah, dude, no problem, man. I'll give you a spot to scratch on for a while, man. Let you throw down something you
nice.
Want it. I don't mind.
Nice.
Look, man, you only live once, dude. So what?
Exactly.
Trust me.
Exactly.
I've had guys with huge names partying with me till like 2-3 in the morning, all drunk and tattoo me, and the next day we're like, oh, that didn't come out as good as we thought it did. So I'm not worried, you know.
Yeah. I haven't practiced. I didn't even know how to put the tattoo gun together. I turned it on like twice and given two tattoos of it. So I was just like, all
dude,
right, like, I'm pretty good at this shit. So
oranges and pigskin. Practice all day on those with that machine, dude. You'll be all right.
See, they keep telling me to practice, though, so I don't want to waste all my good talent on that, you know? Like, I'd rather just do it on them.
well, you know. Hey, it is. Hey, if you feel like the talent's, you know, being wasted on an app or an orange or a piece of pig skin, then so be it.
Yeah,
go
usually
on.
When I tattoo, I got like one eye open, anyways. So hey, we'll count.
Look, I've had cover-ups of cover-ups of cover-ups. So it, no matter what you do, it can be covered up.
Yeah, see. I'm just doing it so I can practice my cover-ups on them later.
That's when they come back and they pay twice as much because they got to get
exactly,
a tattoo
twice
as big.
Yeah, I told them, yeah, I'm lucky I didn't charge them.
Well, brother, man, you go enjoy the rest of your evening. I'm assuming you're probably done for the day. It's getting late down there. You know. And let us know what's going on with your next fight, whether it's a title defense, a new fight, or going after a new title in a new organization, man. We'd love to hear about it.
Okay, man. Awesome, man. Thank you all very much for having me.
Oh, anytime.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Joe. It was a blast, brother.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good night. Thank you.
Everybody, you guys get out there. Follow him on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Good kid, man. Up and coming.
There you have it, Skippy and Lebarki from Wednesday Night Show, MMA Madhouse, live, our longest running show. Well, I had to take a clip from Cage Zombies Radio this week. It was an easy decision because the boys were having some technical difficulties and they only had one guest.
Well, hello, welcome to another episode of Cage Zombies Radio. I sure as hell hope that we are live and actually being heard right now. Blog Talk Radio seems to be having some issues this evening. That seems to be quite a common occurrence, seems to be something that I have to say quite often, but we're experiencing some difficulties with Blog Talk. Hopefully we're being heard, but anyways, so Cage Zombies Radio, probably the best Thursday of the year, in my opinion. It's the season opener of the NFL season, and being an incredibly avid football fan, have been glued to the TV since kickoff, and I'm enjoying every second of this game. Looking forward to when I see my Bucks kick off this Sunday. But until then, let's talk some MMA. With me, as always, is my co-host, Spencer Kirksey.
Yeah, Matthew, I'm also an avid NFL fan, so big Thursday for me as well, but there's no other place I'd rather spend it with than you and talking some MMA. And we have a great show, despite kind of setting the lineup late this week. Matthew, kind of saving our butts and booking some really good guests just last night.
Yeah, you know, this week's show came together a little bit late. Just had a busy week, man. It's been hectic getting back into the swing of things with school. But three great guests lined up tonight. We'll be talking about Florida MMA this evening. We'll cover some stuff going on other places as well. But we're going to talk with Alon Cruz tonight, who's a Florida fighter based out of Tampa. Fights out of Defiant Warrior Team Dark Side under Defiant Daniel, the most mysterious man in all of MMA. Alon's fighting at Conflict. I think it's called Conflict MMA up in Georgia on the, I want to say, 27th. Yeah, September 27th in Macon, Georgia. He's fighting against Josh Millwood up there. Actually did an article on Josh Millwood recently. Josh's manager kind of hit me up and asked if I mind writing this article. I said, no, not a problem, man. I said, you know, where's he fighting? Who's he fighting? And he goes, he's fighting at Conflict MMA. He's fighting against some guy named Alon Cruz. Ever heard of him? I was like, yeah, actually. I know Alon pretty well. So he said, what do you know about Alon? And I go, sorry, I'm not going to give you that. Yeah, I'm not going to give you info on Alon. I consider Alon a close friend, and I got a lot of respect for him and the Team Dark Side guys. So I said, with all due respect, man, he's a good fighter, and I look forward to hearing a great fight from both of these guys. So, and then we're going to talk with Aaron Rojman, pro fighter based out of the Miami area, who's also kind of co-promoting Extreme Fight Night with Daniel Kay, and that fight's going down. That event's going down next week, and I believe the 13th. And so we'll talk with Aaron a little bit about putting that Extreme Fight Night together, and also a little bit about his own career and where he's at right now, and when we can expect to see him back in the cage. And then we're going to close the night out with none other than the master of the beards, Mr. Mitchell Chamali. Mitchell's fighting this weekend at, I believe, South Georgia Fighting Championships, I think is what it's called. It's a title fight. Well-deserved for Mitchell, a real, real tough, young, awesome fighter. And we're going to talk some combat night with him because, as always, combat night. Combat night's had about a week or two of a break. They've been off a couple weeks, but they're getting ready to jump right back into the swing of things with their typical weekly MMA events that they do kind of around the state of Florida. So we'll talk to each one of those great guys tonight. Give me a little bit of a shorter show this evening. I think we're still coming. I think we're both still coming off of the hangover from last week's episode. It was a great episode last week, and we had a great time talking with some of the best ladies in the sport. And that event, actually, I'm beyond excited for Invicta Fighting Championship 8 going down this Saturday on UFC Fight Pass. Obviously, it's just going to be a great night of fights, and I've been following all day. I was at work most of the day, but I've been following along with a lot of the pictures and events going on as they prepare for the weigh-ins tomorrow. You know, most of the fighters arrive today, doing photo shoots, autograph sessions, a lot of that stuff like that. And it's just so awesome seeing a girl I know, seeing Delaney up there, seeing her going through all that, and she's being put kind of on another level right now, and she's going big, and I've known it for a long time. I've been saying for a long time this girl is going to be huge, and sure enough, man, here she is about to make her debut at Invicta, and it's big things for her, so I'm excited. While I pull up sponsors, why don't you go ahead and go over IT Fight Series 28 real quick.
Yeah, up my way, IT Fight Series 28 is going down in Findlay, Ohio. That's kind of where they're based out of. It's going to be taking place at the Cube Multiplex. That is this Saturday. The fights are going to start. Doors open at 6:30. Fights start at 7:30, which probably means fights will start at 8 because for whatever reason, it's always 30 minutes later for everything to get set up. General tickets are only $25. VIP is $40. There's some great fights taking place. I think a total of around 12 to 14. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it there myself, but it's a good fight card, so make sure you look out for results from that. That's what I got for IT Fight Series.
Right on. Our phenomenal team of sponsors are as follows: BrawlBase.com, AOL MMA, Valley Auto Auction, Crossorder Clothing, Intimidation Clothing, All Out Fight Shop, Game Changer Clothing, Persist Headwear, Pro-Am Belts, and, of course, Jack's Media Canada. Make sure you check out each one of those sponsors. We'll go over them again later in the night, as always. All of them doing awesome stuff to support local MMA. Intimidation Clothing was pivotal in with MMA Madhouse in making support local MMA famous. So definitely want to make sure you get out there and check out those great companies, those great organizations. They're doing a lot of awesome stuff for the sport. So World Class Fight League 10 going down this Saturday at the DoubleTree West Shore in Tampa, Florida. As always, one of the best shows in Florida. They're putting on some of the best events. This is the two-year anniversary for World Class Fight League. And another stellar event being put together by Ralph Garcia. A guy works round the clock on this stuff, as well as being able to, maintain a very successful fight team himself, World Class Martial Arts. And this weekend's event... I will pull it up here in a second. I don't know. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. You know, Facebook's kind of getting annoying when you can't even, like, scroll upon anything without having, like, videos start playing. You know, these random videos just start playing all the time. And you're like, okay, I kind of just wanted to read a status or look at something here and find something here. And here I am stuck scrolling through my feed and seeing all these stupid videos. And this video popped up of these alligators eating a deer or something. So I got a little distracted. But World Class Fight League 10 goes down this Saturday night at the Doubletree West Shore Hotel. Phenomenal venue, phenomenal spot there down on Cypress Avenue. Or Cypress in Tampa. It's a great spot. You can't miss it. Right off of the Suncoast. World Class Fight League 10 going to be starting around. I want to say starting around 6 or 7, and be kicking it off. Going to be a great event as always. We'll talk a little bit about some of the guys in that event later on. Right now, I do believe we are already set and ready to go with Alon Cruz. Spencer's bringing him in here, and once Spencer brings him in, we'll get rolling with Alon. I think we are ready to go. Alon Cruz, are you live with us, sir?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good, how you doing?
Doing very good, man. So, first and foremost, man, what the hell's the matter with Devin Rodriguez? I'm getting sick of that guy.
I think everybody gets a little sick of him after a while.
Man, this dude, he's stalking me, man. He's I'm going to have to put a restraining order out against the guy.
Is he sending you messages right now?
Not right now. I'm sure he will be since I'm talking about him now. But you know, he's just a weird dude. No. Anyways, so you got a fight coming up, man, here in a couple weeks. How things going?
Good. You know, it's been put in a nice tough camp. It'll be in Macon, Georgia, on September 27th, and you know, it'll be a tough fight. I'm excited for it.
Right, and that's going down at Conflict MMA up in Georgia. Tell me a little bit about how that came to be.
Coach is actually Marcos has fought in their organization before, and I guess, you know, they hit up Coach one day and they had this guy, Joshua Millwood. He's 11-2 as an amateur, and I guess nobody in his area wants to fight him. He can't get any fights up there, so once we heard about it, I was like, we'll take the fight. So he's making his pro debut, and I'll be making my second fight against him, and then that's basically how it happened.
Yeah. Now, your last fight didn't exactly play out like you wanted. You know, you showed up, you were ready to go, and unfortunately your opponent had some major health issues after cutting weight, was taken to the hospital, and it was on such short notice that they weren't able to get you an opponent. You weren't able to fight. Now this has been kind of something that's been happening quite a bit through MMA. You know, obviously we just saw it from the UFC by Henan Burrell. But outside of that, I mean, it's been happening in multiple places, you know, on the major levels, on the regional levels, on the local levels. It's been happening. Talk a little bit about what that's like being on the receiving end of that, you know, being ready for that fight, being there, ready to go, and not being able to do it. You know, finding out last minute that something happened because of an opponent's bad weight cut, and what's it like? I mean, what's it like being on the end of that to have that happen?
It's definitely frustrating because, you know, you put in the work of, you know, an 8-week camp or a 10-week camp or whatever, you know, amount of weeks you put in, and you do all the work, you do the diet, you do the training, you know, all the sacrifices you made, the money you put into your diet or to everything else, and you get there, you make weight, you know, or you cut weight the whole day and you end up finding your guys and show up, you know, it's kind of just like, it doesn't do anything for your record. I don't know how many times I've had people come up to me and say, oh, that's a win for you, right? And I'm like, no.
Nope.
It doesn't mean anything for me. it's just nothing. So, you know, I've had people back out the day of the fight. You know, I've had it happen multiple times, and it's just kind of, you know, once you go pro, you assume that people would have more of a motivation to actually make it there, since it's money on the line, they're signing that contract. But, you know, it's extremely frustrating, and then you have to wait for another fight to come up, you know, maybe a few weeks down the road if you're lucky. So it's definitely not, you know, a pleasant thing, obviously.
Yeah. Now, I mean, as somebody who comes from a team that's so well-trained, so well-disciplined, you show up, you guys are on weight, you guys commit, you guys are there, and it's very, very, very rare, if ever, that somebody out of your camp isn't ready to fight when they're supposed to fight. Now, what's what are your feelings on that, seeing that where you come from a team with such high discipline to see guys, and not to say that some of these guys don't come from, you know, because I know your last opponent, David Nemore, comes out of Champions MMA, and that's one of the best teams around. Ross Kellen is, without a doubt, one of the best coaches around. But when you see guys that, like, aren't managing their weight cuts well or whatever the issues are going into it, what are your thoughts on fighters needing to maybe be a little bit more careful, you know, take better care of themselves to where they're not having these issues happening? I mean, what are your thoughts on fighters being able to kind of prevent that stuff from happening?
I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, dieting the correct way and not cutting so much weight, you know, within the week of or the couple of days before. You know, it's like Hannon Burrell, you know, he says that he cuts 20 to 22 pounds, you know, pretty much, you know, a few days before his fight, or, you know, a week within his fight, which is ridiculous. You know, I cut, you know, I really don't cut that much weight because I like to diet down. So the day of the weight cut, I'm not, you know, draining myself to where I'm about to die. You know, is what most people do. I think that's just the problem. If I see my weight is fluctuating a little too high, you know, a few weeks out from the fight, you know, I have to, you know, tune up my diet to adjust for it. You know, I think that's just, you know, as a professional, you should have it down by now. I mean, if you fought, you know, at least five fights in the amateur, I think you should have it, you know, down by that point.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree completely, man. You know, it's something that I think that I'm big on, and I talk about it all the time because I think that fighters got to, first of all, you got to protect yourselves. You got to be careful of your body's limits, and some, I hate seeing guys or ladies, just fighters of any gender, pushing their body's limits to try and gain just the slightest advantage. I think that it's definitely something that is it's rough to see. But anyway, so focusing on this fight, man, how's your fight camp been going, and how are you feeling?
It's been going well. You know, we've been training extremely hard, as we usually do. You know, Coach, you know, Defiant Daniel, he always likes to push the limits every time. You know, I think the difference is that, you know, our fight camps are never the same. It's always completely different from the fight camp previous to that one. And it's been, you know, a tough camp. I've been doing a lot of functionality type stuff, like mobility class, you know, to work on my flexibility. I've been working a lot of capoeira, you know, judo. You know, anything that I can see that can help me in my game improve, even if it's just little things, then I just, you know, I see it has to be necessary to add it to my game.
Yeah. Now, coming off, you know, RFC 29, you make your pro debut against Brad May in what was an all-out war. You come away with a unanimous decision, and he left there looking like he had golf balls popping out of his all over his head. Man, you beat him up with vicious elbows and really made a statement there. Obviously, you know, your team had been warning me. They'd been saying, watch out for him when he makes that pro debut. You know, you came out, you put on a great fight. What are you going to use from that fight to carry over into this upcoming fight against Josh Millwood?
Well, it definitely, that fight helped me. Since I had to go three rounds, it gave me the confidence to know that I can go 3 5-minute rounds without gassing out. You know, and it helps to know that my training that I'm doing now is working to the way I want it to. As well as, I don't think I'll be throwing as many elbows as I did because I grazed my elbows really bad after that. I want to be able to, you know, do a little more stand up in my next fight, which I'm sure Joshua Millwood will be down for. But I'm also willing to mix it up, you know, take it to the ground, do some jiu-jitsu. Wherever the fight goes, I want to finish the fight though this time. I don't want to go to the decision anymore.
Now you had you put together a pretty stellar amateur career. You know, you fought some top guys here in the state. You go out with a great record in the amateurs. You bring that into the pros, obviously, with the successful victory. Talk a little bit about what it's been like, you know, the success there, obviously coming from, like I was mentioning before, the discipline, the training that you guys undergo. I know Defiant Daniel keeps you guys pretty locked down on stuff. I've tried to get stuff out of different guys before, and it's never successful. But what is it like? What do you guys got going on there that separates you guys from the rest? Because your team overall is very successful, and it shows. So, you know, give me a little bit. Give me don't break my heart here. Let me have a little bit of info into the magic that is Team Darkseid and Defiant Daniel.
I think a big part of it is that everyone there that trains is a fighter. You know, we don't really have anybody that comes in just to do fitness or just to learn some stuff. It's mainly everyone's there to compete or fight. And, I mean, we have a lot of pros on our team. Almost everybody on our team is pro except for Oleg or, I mean, really that's about it. Everybody's a pro. And I think that everybody there is so hungry to train and to get better that we feed off each other. I know when I'm training with Marcos, me and Marcos, we definitely feed off each other. We could go for hours training, you know, because I don't want to stop because he's not stopping. And I think since we're together so much that all of us are all just, you know, we're a big family that helps us push more. And we generally want to see, you know, our teammates do better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely, man, absolutely. Now, as this fight approaches, you know, what are your last preparations? You know, you're a couple weeks out from the fight now, but as the fight gets closer, you start to get about a week out from the fight. What are your final preparations when you get into that week, that, you know, the hell week, as most people call it?
Yeah. I make sure my diet's on point. You know, at this point, you know, it's all about tweaking, you know, messing with some electrolytes and, you know, some water manipulation, you know, hyperhydrating. You know, lots of people do that and smart. I think the big thing is to keep eating, you know, all the way up until the day of weigh-in, because most people starve themselves. And, you know, I've done that before for, you know, like my first few amateur fights, you know, not starving yourself, but you eat less. And now I've learned to eat more because my metabolism's already going so crazy. And the more I eat, the more weight I keep shredding. And, you know, I think it's just getting my mind, you know, set and prepared mentally for the, you know, I like to meditate a lot. I like to read a lot. I like reading a lot before my fight, you know, in the closing weeks. You know, I read Musashi's Book of Five Rings. If you've ever read it, it's a great book. If not, check it out. I think it's more a mental thing because all the work's already done. And really it's just, you know, mentally preparing and, you know, bringing it to a close and finishing out Hell Week and then just recovering and being prepared.
Yeah. Well, right on, man. You know, what are some final words that you'd like to leave with us before we let you go tonight?
A shout out to, you know, Coach Defiant Daniel for pushing us every day and helping us get through our training and, you know, pushing us past things that we never thought that we could do before. Coach Mahmoud, he's in Egypt right now, but he's our wrestling coach. He's one of the best wrestling coaches in Tampa for sure, and he's taking us off to the next level. The athletic studio, Matt Zelansky for our strength and conditioning. Doug Arvanitis for Pro Health. I mean, it's just a bit, we have a lot of people backing us, and it helps out Team Darkseid and the Deformation to, you know, help us achieve our goals. I mean, you know, we couldn't do it by ourselves. And it helps that, you know, we have tons of sponsors out there to help us out, as well as Channel Side Auto Mall and Kevin Madero.
Right on, man. And where can people find you on social media?
You can go to Facebook.com and search my name, Alon Cruz, A-A-L-O-N, and then there's only two Alon Cruises on there, and they're both me. One of them is my personal page, and one of them is my fighter page. Go ahead and add me on both and, you know, follow my career, and I'll make my updates and let you know when there's new fights coming up. And, you know, go to darkside-mma.com, and you can look up there for updates as well.
Right on, man. Well, listen, Alon, thank you for joining us, man. I'll see you around. You know, I love you guys down on Darkseid. One of these days, I'm going to figure out the mystery and the magic behind Defiant Daniel. And,
hey, come on by. You're always open in the station. Come on by the
right
gym.
Right on, man. Right on, man. Absolutely. I'll come down there and maybe show you guys a thing or two one of these days.
All right, definitely.
Just keep that Devin away from me. I'm serious. That guy, there's something wrong with that.
I'll restrain him the next time we see him.
Right on. All right, Alon, have a good night, man. Take it easy.
All right, you too.
There you have it. Cage Zombies Radio. Listen to them, Spencer and Matthew, every Thursday night. Cage Zombies Radio. Friday nights, We do something a little special. It's called the Rogue Show. It's a call-in show. It's an adult show. This week, the boys had a special guest call in.
I want to welcome one of our old longtime friends. He's always come on the show. One of the best referees I've ever seen. Anthony Amway, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm good, man. How you guys doing?
Oh,
great.
Not bad. Hey,
can you hear me better now?
Yeah. Hey, I know we kind of jumped away from it. We talked a little bit earlier about refereeing and some of the issues with it. Dude, I want to jump back for a minute to that subject because we have him on, and everybody saw the fights on the UFC when he reffed them up in Seattle. Dude, how hard is it for you? Because we heard from Jeff. How hard is it for you to determine a flash knockout and a good, solid knockout in that split moment?
I say the same thing all the time. When they hit the ground, if their first motion is to come forward, then they keep fighting. When they hit the ground, they go back and they flop, that's when I stop it. I've always did that, and I've always tried to teach guys behind me to do that.
Okay. Now, the other question is, if you're yelling at an opponent to defend himself from ground and pound, per se, and he just throws a thumbs up, is that for you a good enough sign to keep the fight going?
It matters. It matters. I mean, a thumbs up doesn't mean you're not getting your ass whooped and you need to do something, because we're all looking like idiots here. I'm looking like an idiot letting you get your ass whooped, and you look like an idiot letting you get your ass whooped.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, that's the way John told me when I talked to him about the Faber fight. He said, it wasn't John. Who was it? I talked to John about the Faber fight, and John said, when a referee says, defend yourself, defend yourself, defend yourself, and you give a thumbs up, he's not asking you if you're okay. He's saying,
no.
Defend yourself. And if you don't do what a ref tells you to do, the fight's over.
Yeah, that's why I like Herb's. I use Herb's command there. Well, he doesn't tell you to defend yourself. He tells you to fight back. If you ever listen to Herb, Herb does not say defend yourself. He tells you to fight back. And I use the same command when I'm reffing, fight back. I don't just defend yourself. That you can cover up and defend yourself. That you can do that all damn day. That is defending yourself. Fight back. Some of you got something in you.
Yeah, but you.
Yeah, but
you
if you remember, he was in that seatbelt position where he had his hands pulled underneath him, and he couldn't really defend blocking. So he was getting those punches eating. Faber still had all his wits when Burrell was pounding him. But, I mean, he ate 10 or 12 shots in a row without defending himself, without improving or trying to roll out or change position. And the thumbs up wasn't a response that was appropriate.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, we got a split second to make a million-dollar decision. That's what I would tell everybody. You know, when we get to the big leagues as refs, we got a split second to make a million-dollar decision, because it is a million-dollar decision. That one loss is big, you know.
What did you think about that Chiesa stoppage tonight?
The which one?
Michael stoppage.
The Lozon. Lozon.
Everybody's trying to blame Herb. Herb didn't do shit. Herb stepped in, let the doctor look at it. The doctor said the fight's over. It's over. There ain't nothing we can do about it.
Herb's a good ref.
Herb did exactly what he's supposed to do. I mean, Mike's my boy. All the guys in Spokane. I would love to see him. I think if, like Dana said, if that fight was in Vegas, they would have probably still kept fighting. The doctors in Vegas probably would have let him keep going, but they're not quite as knowledgeable up there. So
I didn't
it was
see the
bad.
Cut. Where was it? Where was the cut?
Right on the eyebrow.
Yeah, it was right above the eye. It was a gash, man.
Was it leaking in or around the eye?
It was not going in the eye. He could have definitely kept fighting for sure, but
so it was leaking around
the
eye.
The doctors made that call. Herb didn't.
Yeah, that's once the referee brings the doctor into the to the cage, he loses decision making.
Yeah, I was, I can't remember, it was Cyborg, I was repping Cyborg up in
There's some Mexican guy out of Jackson's camp. It was a strike force fight, and one of those guys got cut. It was bad, and it was late in the fight. And I'm like, please don't let there be an all. And that's what went through my head. I didn't want there to be a lull in the action where I had to take a stop and take a second to stop and look at that cut. You know, so I those are the things that go through your mind as a referee too. Just keep fighting, so there's no break.
You son of a bitch! I don't have to do anything. I'm like,
that's great. Now, you know, you probably ref one of the craziest fights, and you were able to keep it going when a lot of refs would have probably stopped it and turned out to be a fantastic fight when it was all said and done. During that fight, when those guys were getting close to where some refs would have stopped it, when you're at that point in a fight, you know, what are you watching to know that it's okay to let that guy go even though he's getting fucking rocked?
I've been there. I've been there in the room training. I've been there in there with my guys fighting. I've been there. You know, and I tell a lot of these refs, they're learning. I'm like, if you were in that position or if your fighter was in that position, would you want the fight stopped? You know, that's the thing that goes through my mind as a referee is give these guys a chance to fight back. You know, but there's that fine line where it's fighting back and then it's abuse. You know,
and let me ask you this: Do you have a fine line where you know the accumulation, you know, as the cumulative damage builds up and the guy's still fighting back? Is there a point where you're like, just okay, enough's enough? You're not going to win this fight. There's nothing you can do. You get your credit.
I have in the amateurs. I have in the
guy
I have
himself.
I've had made those calls when ref in amateur fights, but not in the pros. Not in the pros. Yours. I mean, as long as you've got some fight left in, you're going to keep fighting. Like I thought the guy that the Rothwell and Overeem fight, a lot of refs would have let Overeem take a few more, and I thought he made a perfect call.
Oh, I didn't think there was any problem with that call.
But a lot of refs would have let him go all the way out where he didn't need to, you know.
My only problem with that fight was having the smallest referee in the crew.
It don't matter.
Be running that. But I mean, when you got Big John and Herb, it's kind of hard to throw the little guy in there between Reams. He was trying to throw over this Don Rafa.
I told you.
I guarantee you, I'm a hell of a lot more athletic than most of the big dudes out there.
No, I know, but he couldn't get his arms around his waist to pull him off.
Yeah.
He was like, get off.
Hamlet, are you telling me in a fight that you had no problem double-legging Kovacs to the ground?
I'm definitely going to do what I got to do, man. I'll stop. But you know what? We shouldn't. You seen that topic anyway just recently about referees tackling fighters. We don't need to tackle a fighter. Cover the down fighter. You know, if you
right.
cover the down fighter and then what I do is I position myself in between. I cover the down fighter, and then I push backwards into the guy who's still attacking. Now, if he continues to attack, then that's completely a whole different story. Then that's when we get into fouls and stuff like that, you know, because he's under the care of the referee at that point.
Yeah, my buddy Mike Beltran said that he'll only try to, like, use his shoulder to tackle a guy if there's forward momentum. If, like, the guy rocks him, the guy falls backwards with his head against the cage and the guy's charging forward to throw that last shot, then he'll lock him up and literally shoot a double on him if he has to, he said. But he said that's just to save a guy from eating a shot when his head's on the canvas.
I'll tell you what, many guys, when I first came up, I used to tackle people all the time. And it looks cool, but it's not really good for the fighters because sometimes, remember the one guy that got hurt by Big John? Remember that? What's that guy's name? He actually ended up with a disease and pretty much paralyzed later in life.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
What is his name? He actually owned part of AKA at one time. He's part of that whole crew. He's in the early UFCs. Big John broke his nose when he tackled him. He couldn't fight on in the tournament.
When you first started reffing, the guys you hung around with, you had to be physical because those kind of fighters back in the day, you know, the crazy group that you fought with and hung with and stuff, and everybody loves the show knows all the names. And by the way, Jonathan, this is the only guy you'll ever meet who was bitch slapped by Frank Shamrock.
Hey.
But, open palm strike. That's right. Open palm strike.
But
hey,
you know, those guys,
you're right.
Those guys, dude, those guys
well,
back
you
then.
You guys will appreciate. You guys will appreciate this, and if you get a chance, go on YouTube and look up Choke Slam Ref James Bruno, my coach from American Top Team, Steve Bruno's brother James is a referee, and he's refereeing a tough man or whatever. He told the guys that these two guys were getting a little too frisky, and he separated them, and the guy didn't like getting separated, so he hit the ref. And James literally picked him up with one hand and choke slammed him to the mat like the Undertaker. It's like one of the funniest things you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Anthony
He hit the referee.
So, Hamlet, what's the deal with all your boys in Spokane getting fucked by the UFC consistently?
Hey, I don't know, man. Not my problem. Not my problem, man. It's just, it's the judges, man. It's a rough call, man. I would not want to be a judge, honestly. I would not want that. Because when I look at it, I like pride judging style. I like where a guy can win a fight from the bottom, you know, like Nogueira did against Rico, you know what I mean? So I like that kind of fight.
Yeah, I mean, if guys like Tony Ferguson the other night, on the bottom.
Absolutely. I thought there was
very
no question
active.
In my mind that he won that fight. There was no
yeah.
question in my mind that he won that fight.
Same thing with me. I didn't even think it was a controversy. I was like, he
no.
when you land 30, 40 blows from the bottom and the guy lands, it's pretty obvious.
You know, one
yeah,
of
course, the touchdown scores, but if you don't score it,
who was it that he fought?
Danny Castillo.
You know, one of... the craziest fights I've ever refed that a guy won a fight from the bottom was Chris Lieben versus Pat Healy. He was in the FCFF there in Portland. And Pat kept taking, you know, Lieben down. You know how Lieben
Holy
is. He hits you from every
shit.
Angle with every part of his body.
Sorry. I just watched that choke slam by oh, my God, dude. He bitch slammed that dude like a fucking girl on prom night. Then he turned around and threw up his hands and said, let's keep going.
Yeah, then he lets them know, I'm not just a referee. He's like, you guys want to go? Let's go. Because the guy comes back.
He's the other fighter, too. I love it, dude. Dude, that's classic.
Yeah, the Bruno brothers, if I can shout out real quick, especially because it's the anniversary. My coach, Steve Bruno, at American Top Team, was a rescue swimmer in the Navy, and it's actually the anniversary of the day that helicopter he was on crashed, and an Emmy-winning journalist died in the crash, and he had to, like, be saved from the helicopter and had to save a bunch of guys from the helicopter, so he's, like, a real true American hero, and his brother James is the choke slam ref guy, and their brother Mike fights at Titan FC, just lost a tough split decision in Titan. But, yeah, the Brunos, they're all a bunch of badasses, all of them. Even their dad's a big badass.
That's cool.
Yeah, so check out Choke Slam Referee. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever see. Don't put your hands on a referee, especially an MMA referee. These guys train, you know?
So,
hey, which one of the Bruno fighters fought Landon Showalter? One of them fought Landon. Do you guys remember which one that was?
Not sure.
It was a 70-pounder. Which one was a 70-pounder?
That's Steve. Steve. Yeah.
Well, speaking of fights that are going down, anybody got a pick on tomorrow's Michelle Waterson fight versus Tamada?
She went decision easy. She might even get a TKO in the third or fourth round, I think.
Oh.
What weight is that fight at? What weight is that at?
105.
Adam.
That's a, what's the name of the girl from Alpha Male, right?
Yeah.
She's fighting
Michelle
Uriah
Waterson?
The girl, yeah, Waterson fighting that girl from Alpha Male, the knockout artist. Right?
No, I thought that was Charmaine Tweets fighting the girl from Alpha Male, Veronica Rothenhauser.
Yeah,
Waterson,
that's the one
Karate
Hottie.
Karate Hottie's fighting the girl from Japan, and, Rothenhauser is fighting Charmaine Tweet at 155.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking of Rothenhausen. I'm sorry. It's a completely different weight. My bad.
Dude, she's a beast, man. Rothenhausen is a beast, man. She's got a big overhand right, and if it lands, it could be a quick night.
Yeah, well,
I think she has 2 8-second KOs.
You guys got, what's her name up in Washington? Amanda Dell, who's a knockout artist.
Dude, yeah, we sponsored her since she was an amateur. She's close. Me and Lepaki have hung out with her, and she's a great young lady. She's got power in those hands. I'll tell you what, after that loss in her first run in the Invitka, and then going up to Canada, getting married, fighting Charmaine and losing, she got divorced, moved back to Oregon to Enoch Wilson's Animal House MMA, and she's been on another level. She's training-wise, fight-wise. I can't wait to see the second run at Invitka for her.
I'd like to see her fight. I know it's a big stretch right now, she's not on the same level as far as pedigree and record, but I'd like to see her fight a girl like, I think she'd do really well against Cyborg.
She is. That's the whole reason she joined MMA. She wants that fight one day.
I think she's tailor-made to beat Cyborg.
Dude, she's, this girl started out fighting in the amateurs at 180, you know? I mean, and just kept, dude, think about this. She put the first blemish on Jessamyn Duke's record as an amateur. Then she came in and took out, Shafir at Chaos at the Casino, which I guarantee you nobody was going to call that fight to go that way. Nobody, not even me. And I love her to death.
I was calling
the fight. Hey, Skip. I got to head out of here, man. I'll catch up with you guys.
Okay. Later, brother.
All right, buddy.
Later,
I'm talking about the first round KO.
I was commentating that night. It took all the air out of the building. Everybody left. It was crazy. Absolutely
really?
Crazy. Changed the mood of the entire night.
You've probably seen more of Shafir's fights than we have in person. Do you think she's legit, or has she been kind of coddled to get to where she's at?
Marina?
Yeah.
Oh, Marina's legit. Yeah. Marina, she got caught. And it's MMA. You wear 4-ounce gloves. Any weight class, you get caught, you go down. Amateur, pro, whatever. You do not get the type of pedigree that she has. You do not get the amount of people talking about you that she has just because she hangs out with Ronda Rousey, you know? She's legit. I've seen her train.
I think
Marina needs to change her. If I was in charge, and I'm not, but I think that a change of scenery is necessary, not because that camp doesn't work. I just think that and as a fighter, you don't want to ever get comfortable. I think you want to be in uncomfortable situations when you're training, because that's what you're training for, is uncomfortable situations.
I agree. I think Baszler needs to go back to with Josh 100%, and I think Jessamyn needs to go back to somewhere where she can utilize her Muay Thai a lot better. I mean, I really think that camp is cradle. It is perfect to make Ronda better. But the supporting cast isn't really getting better, and it's kind of like the Black Zillions had a really bad run, and right now that camp is having a really rough run. Jessamyn's dropped 2 straight. Shanna's lost again. Marina just got took her loss. I mean, really the only person winning there is Ronda right now.
There you have it. Episode 1 of Clips of the Week. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'll be back next week with the highlights from all of our shows this week. Tomorrow night, listen live. Sunday Night Fights Live. Monday night, Rage in the Cage Radio. Wednesday night, MMA Madhouse Live. Thursday night, Cage Zombies Radio. Friday night, The Rogue Show. And soon, returning to the airwaves, is The BS Show. Speaking of the BS show, I'm going to close out tonight's show with Trash Canyon. Trash Canyon's walkout music. Have a great night.
now. Come with me now.
Time to disperse. Party's over.